All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Noodles in Ottawa calling a game tonight. So Dave Feshchuk of the Toronto Stars in there. A two-pack in the studio. I love it.
I actually find it quite weird. The grappler sends out, like, the Groot text. Do I really have to text Dave, who's 5 feet away from me right now, to say I'm going? And I got to tell you what, Hazy, the new setup in here, I think when you return, you should go in the middle.
You think so? Wow.
I really do. I think it's just better because, you know, me and Noodles both have eyeballs on you. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good move.
I could have that conversation potentially. I mean, it's so out of sight, out of mind for me. I haven't even thought of that, the different seating plans. You know, this is kind of like a John Ferguson Jr. move. Look at you, Ron Burgundy. You got to mix up the seating plan on the plane.
Ron Burgundy. In all seriousness, prayers up to whatever happened on the 401 today because something bad happened. Oh. I don't know what the hell it was. But somebody, yeah, I hope somebody's okay because I was, kidding you. I was 401 Weston Road at 1:45 p.m. and I barely got here.
Crazy.
So something happened. I just hope everything's okay. Like, prayers out to everybody because it wasn't good, man.
No, I saw that trending. I'm assuming you probably ran into a similar issue, Dave. Like, you get gridlock out there on the 401. Whichever way you're going, man, it's gonna get you one way or the other.
Yeah, I think O-Dog had it worse than me. It probably took me double the normal time to get here, but I kind of skirted. I was lucky enough to see it and skirt around it a little bit, but it looked ugly. Like, the express was closed. There had to be, you know, a few dozen cop cars investigating whatever happened out there, so it had to be ugly.
And, Hayes, you live in Winnipeg, but I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's more cars in the kind of downtown area. Like, I tried to get away from this where I'm like heading north and like cutting in and out. It was like every guy and their brother was in their car today. I don't know if traffic's, I'm not really a driver, I'm not out and about, but it seems like traffic is worse than it's ever been in life.
I've seen that from limited experience, and I've heard that through the grapevine, that I think it might be that COVID just shocked the system so much where you almost have this belief that no one's on the road. And you forget how bad the city used to be in terms of gridlock. And I guess we're getting there with the LRT on Eglinton. I saw they, you know, showed a little video of the Science Center station or whatever.
Right. Yeah, we're getting there, Hayes. We'll be there in about a decade.
Yeah, we'll be there in a decade. And then they're going to start working on Queen, I think it is, next.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a mess downtown forever. That's just the reality. There's condos going up everywhere, and they're working on different lines. And I think, you know, people are coming around, though. I noticed that this weekend, you know, for Thanksgiving, that it felt normal on the roads, right? And I'm sure it was like that last night. We talked about it extensively yesterday with 30,000 people, give or take, at BMO and about 18 grand down at Scotiabank, and they all would have been pouring out onto the streets and pretty happy with the result. Regardless of how the games were played, it was a pretty good night downtown Toronto last night because Canada with a big win over Panama. We'll talk about that. And the Leafs find a way to get past the Habs, so you're off and running. You know, you get 2 points and bank it, and you move on to Ottawa tonight.
William Nylander, I said it last night for SC. I'm like, that's why you need a game breaker. Because that first period, the Leafs were god-awful. Like, they were horrible. And I'm like, what's going on here? It reminded me of Tampa in their home opener against Pittsburgh, where they just had nothing going. And then they got that goal from Engvall. And William Nylander, who I think is poised to have a great season. I love everything about the way he looks out there. That's why you get paid as a game breaker, man. And it's like, everybody was all over this guy, and he's not out of the woods yet as this megastar or whatever, but he's a hell of a player. And every step he takes, the money that he's making that everyone was outraged about before seems to look better and better the way I view it.
Oh, the dollar amount never comes up anymore.
It's funny how that just never comes up anymore.
I do think it's a little bit revisionist history. I've seen people send me tweets, us tweets, the media tweets, fans tweets, and everyone's getting fired up online about it. You know, the reaction to the Nick Suzuki contract, the reaction to the Brady Tkachuk contract. The difference was William Nylander sat in Stockholm, Sweden until there was 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
He took a different approach. Let's not forget that, right? Brady's not going to play tonight. He'll be playing, if not tomorrow, on Saturday. Nick Suzuki got it done well in advance. Like, it's not kicking in until next year. William Nylander played a different card.
Yeah, I know.
That's why
people
were angry.
If you're in his camp, if you're his agent, and if you're William Nylander and you called his agent and said, I didn't like that tactic, he would say, yeah, you do, because it worked. So as a fan, what do you just not like it because it worked and it was – you didn't like the way he sat at home or
– it's not about even why or how or making sense. It's about emotion. Yeah. It's the truth, though. It's about emotion. And that was the – it was the same thing with Marner. Why'd you drag it through the offseason? Why'd you miss the first 3 days of camp? Like, why'd you do it? And they decided to do it, and that was it. And at the time, again, remember, it wasn't about – Nylander compared to Nick Suzuki 3 years down the road. It was Nylander compared to Pasternak. Pasternak's at 6.6. Nylander's at 6.9. That's what it was more about. In the bubble, it was like, eh, I don't know, maybe you should get 6.4, 6.5. In the end, it's a great deal for the team. I think it's still a good deal for Nylander. And if he keeps playing like this in a few years, he's back up, and guess what? He'll get paid again.
But let's not forget, there was more to it. Yeah, there was a lot to it. And take the emotion out of it, because obviously fans get emotional. And I hear your point, O-Dog. People tie, you know, the salary cap number to everything these days. And you have to, because, you know, the economics are so important. But, you know, if you talk to cold, hard, you know, very rational negotiators, there was a lot of buzz around this league about whether or not Kyle Dubas negotiated that deal properly. Like, there were a lot of hardball negotiators in the GM seat who would have said, hey, William, oh, yeah, you want to play it to the 11th hour? Guess what? We're going to hour 12, 13. Enjoy your time in the KHL for the year. And a lot of people think that would have set a tone about how Dubas was going to negotiate with his, you know, hometown discount guys. Like, he was going to demand that if they wanted to be members of this team, if they wanted to be Toronto Maple Leafs, if they wanted to be what they say they want to be, which is a contender, that they were going to have to take haircuts. And he didn't do that. Like, he essentially caved to the 11th hour, O-Dog. Now, it looks good now, but you wonder the tone it set and the ensuing negotiations with the other guys who got the money they wanted to get.
Well, as an example of that, Brady Tkachuk signed his deal today, 7 years at 8.2 per. He got no signing bonus.
Yeah.
None. Like, as Ottawa said, you don't understand. We don't do it. And guess what? He's like, all right, they don't do it.
Right.
You know, let's go. Like, and listen, it doesn't matter anymore because Nylander's deal is in the bank.
I was going to say, we were doing something very Toronto there.
Yeah,
they
I have no interest in bringing
that
up.
Last night, home opener, and we were going down a rabbit hole of the Nylander negotiation.
It comes up because of Tkachuk and Suzuki and all that,
the
and how well he's playing.
Bottom line is, nobody's ever happy about any contract. It's like Suzuki signs, there's people in Montreal saying, too much or not as much as this guy. And then Tkachuk signs, people are like, why do you get more than Suzuki? It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you're never going to be happy. This is what Bettman, I guess, wanted, was a salary cap that forces every fan and everyone to be a mathematician and to have the calculators out. And I don't like it, personally. I'd rather just talk about the game. Like William Nylander playing phenomenally well last night, like he did last year, like he did in the playoffs. And really, he was an outlier last night where you bank the points, you move on, we'll see what you have tonight. But there were a few different things I would take out of the game and the effort last night. First and foremost, Jack Campbell, I think, was the story of the night, the way he played. That's exactly
first
what you need out of Jack Campbell. He was outstanding in the first period. He never became unstable. He never looked uncomfortable. He looked very, very solid last night. And it will be a tandem, and Mrazek's going tonight. Mrazek's here on a three-year deal at a decent clip. He's going to get opportunities. But I think it's in the best interest of the Leafs long-term. If Campbell can just take it and run with it and be a legit number one, that eases everything. You know, that doesn't mean Mrazek's only getting 15 starts. Of course not. But instead of 30-35, if it's closer to 25, that's a good thing. Because that means Campbell's proven himself.
And Mrazek's got to do his thing tonight. He has to understand, for him to start out the first 25-game segment or whatever it is, we've talked a lot about what the allotment's going to be, how it's going to work. But for Mrazek, he's going to have to deal with the second of back-to-back nights, team tired, maybe not having their best stuff. And the first periods of his games are going to be so important for him to be dialed in, because it's not like he's going to get a fresh team in front of him every night. So you're going to see, he better get it into his head. This is what he's dealt with. It may not be the best first period, but stand tall, just like Campbell did last night, and give your team a chance to win.
Absolutely. And I think, listen,
they were rotten last night.
They better have a better start tonight. And that is one, like, big picture, you get the 2 points. It's one of 82. It will be irrelevant moving forward. But I was disappointed with the start last night. This is a team that keeps talking about the process, about turning over a new leaf, about being angry, about caring. That's all we've heard from Dubas and
company.
What
about a team that just crushed your soul 4 months ago?
Your soul. Like, the Habs stole it from you, something that you continue to tell everyone you care about more than anything else. And that's how you show up? That's how you enter the season from the team that smacked you around for the final three games and said, we're taking this. You know, we're taking your ball. We're running with it all the way to a cup final. I couldn't believe they started the way they did last night. I should know better because of their history.
Once again, let's and not go full
I know
Toronto.
It's not. It's a win.
Toronto. They but did the, win the game.
There's no way I was the only one thinking that. Hey, oh, there's no way I was the only one thinking
if
that.
If we want to go full Toronto, how about the idea that this is your first chance to have a full crowd? Now, it wasn't full, but you had the chance at a full crowd in 500 and something days, 18 long months where you're playing to nobody, essentially. And didn't that just seem like another night at the Scotiabank Arena in a lot of ways? Like, there was a dull murmur, and there were a few roars, but that wasn't exactly an electric atmosphere.
We were talking yesterday, Dave, how it's like we got to – and the big question is, it's like, to pay a lot of money, are they going to go in there and sit on their hands, or does the team have to provide the excitement?
Yeah.
It was like an exchange of nothingness last night. It was like, we're not going to give you anything in the first, and – we don't care if you cheer because you're not going to cheer. It was just – it was disappointing, man. Like, I'm not going – we're not going any more Toronto on this because they did win the game. But I was talking to Pooley because we had to do a SportsCenter hit. I'm like, imagine a team, like, beating you out of the playoffs and then this scrimmage no-hitter just appears in the first game of the season and you're playing that team.
Wow.
And, dude, I wasn't no Rock'em Sock'em Probert type, but give me a break.
Oh, Doug, maybe it's because – they don't feel like the Montreal Canadiens beat them. They know they beat themselves.
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I think that's probably a valid point, Dave, is they have never looked at this as giving credit to Montreal. They've looked at it as, I can't believe we did this to ourselves. Secondly, that's not how they're built. And, like, I've concluded a long time ago, going to these games in this city my whole life, it's not the chicken or the egg. The team has to supply the style of play that will drag the fans into it.
Yeah.
It's disappointing, but it's the truth. It's the nature of our city. It's the nature of that building. It's always been the case, even when it wasn't the building. At the Gardens, it was similar in many ways. The thing is with this team is they don't play a style that is conducive to that. In other words, they're not throwing big hits. There's not going to be fights.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how they play. They don't play with a style or an energy that's going to drag the fans into it. So I think it's a combination of COVID, probably people being uncomfortable in there. It's the first time in there in a long time. I can only imagine being in the seats. You're like, should I be yelling, not yelling, standing, not standing? I'm sure it was an uncomfortable feeling, and it's a feeling out process. But this team is not built to play a way that is going to drag people into it. Like the early 2000 Leafs, when it was Tucker and Roberts and Domi was fighting 5 minutes into the game. That place was getting loud and going nuts, but it was the players that started it. Players triggered it. The team did. Sure, you had the same experience when you were there for a couple of years. That's the nature of the beast here, and I don't think it's going to change. And it's not going to be much of a home ice advantage because it's not the way the team is built. It's not the way they play. It doesn't mean they won't have success. Right, you react to wins, you react to goals, big moments in the third, big moments in overtime and close games.
It's just kind of bizarre, Hayes. Like you,
not the way it works here.
We went to a game in Vegas and we were shocked at the noise and just a different environment. Like we've done lots of games together, and we've sat and said, you could hear a guy talking 30 rows down from the press box to his buddy. Like, it's so I find it bizarre. I find it bizarre to hear a guy 20 rows beneath me having a convo about cutting his grass. Like, this is a professional sporting event. You shouldn't be able to hear that.
Yeah, but to your point, Hayes, like, it's about the style of play, but it's also about just the modern style of play. Like, it's hard to find players who do what you're talking about, who bring a crowd to its feet with a big hit or bring a crowd to its feet with a big fight. And that's why you look at Brady Tkachuk signing and you're like, yeah, okay, you look at his stats and you're like, is he really worth what they're giving him, 8.2 per for 7 years. Statistically, maybe not. But then you look at this guy has led the entire NHL the previous two seasons combined in hits. You know, he's ahead of Ryan Reeves by like 100 hits over those two seasons. He's led the NHL in drawing penalties, which means he's led the NHL in being a you-know-what disturber. He's drawn like 20 more penalties than Brad Marchand over those 2 years. So you talk about a guy that is a spark plug, a pain in the butt to play against. The Leafs have nobody like that. But guess what? there's a bunch of teams in this league that don't have many guys like that.
No, exactly.
There just aren't many guys like that.
No, and it's not that the way the Leafs are built isn't going to be successful. You know, like even last night, they didn't have their A game. They won the game. And I think if they respond tonight and have some jump, and I expect more from Marner and Tavares tonight, if Nylander plays the way he did last night, you're golden, right? If Engvall continues to double down, you're golden. If Mrazek shows up, I think they get another win tonight. And all of a sudden, you're waking up on Friday, you got a 2-0 team, and you're feeling good. It's just the nature of the beast down there, you know, at Scotiabank. And I think if you combine it with COVID and mask wearing and a lot of uncertainty in terms of the rules and even just the unwritten rules, right, about what goes and what flies right now in 2021, then that's what you're going to get. But in the end, you know, I think the Leafs, they stabilized after the first. Obviously, it didn't go well for them. But after that, I think they checked well last night. DJ Smith pointed to it. Like, you know, away from the puck, I didn't think they gave up a ton last night. Early on, it was what it was. But then Campbell stabilized. They stabilized defensively. And they're the better team. You know, Montreal's doesn't look like a team that was in the Cup final last night.
No.
Right? Like, that was not a team where you're like, oh, I can't believe they won 12 games plus last year in the spring. But they did. They found a way to find a spark, and they went deep. But I think the Leafs are going to feel good about walking away with 2 points, and you turn the page, and you see what happens tonight in another packed building or close to it in Ottawa. And Brady Tkachuk's not playing, right? Like, he just signed his deal. So he won't be in the lineup, and this is a team you should beat tonight as well.
They have to get engaged and kind of, it seemed like last year Ottawa, or the last like year and a half when Ottawa's trying to get better, it's almost like Ottawa's embrace like the Battle of Ontario. Okay, we're kind of back to a good team. But Toronto, it just seems like, well, you're still Ottawa. We're not. And I know the Battle of Ontario, without Tucker and Alfredson and all those guys, it's never going to be the same. But like, just, they just have to match the work ethic, because last year a couple times they didn't do it and they lost to Ottawa.
Yeah. Ottawa always seems to get them early in the
it's
year.
They get jacked up for that. Like,
yeah, they
love playing the Leafs, and they play well against them.
Yep. I expect a good response from Ottawa. Positive vibes. Brady Tkachuk probably in the room before the game or close to it, you know, and they know that he's coming, and you'll have fans in the stands. But I'm curious to see what Mrazek brings tonight. And, you know, he's here for a significant portion of time, right? He got a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the introduction of Mrazek. He's been in the league for a while. I think everyone knows who he is and what he can bring, but Campbell did his part last night. If Mrazek carries it over to tonight, then it's going to be positive vibes on Friday, right? Hopefully a better start, more jump. I think they have opportunity to bring more in terms of the big boys, Marner and Tavares in particular, but a win is a win is a win, and that's what the Leafs got last night. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge, because if you get that kind of goaltending like they got from Campbell out of the gate last night, like, how much pressure does that take off this young D? You're trying to, like, you're trying to develop Rasmus Sandin as you try to contend. Lilligren's probably going to get his share of time. You know, you lost Bogosian, a big veteran presence. So this isn't exactly, like, as much as Brody and Riley and Muzzin are a great backbone to a solid D, you got some other question marks in there. Dermott can be up and down. We saw what happened in the playoffs when he got a little jittery and gave it away. So, like, to have a backbone goaltender, whether it's, and to have two that you can count on to cover up a few mistakes. Because
there was some last night, too, because you could tell Campbell there were some AHL plays going on out there where it was like coughing it up on the, like, first period. I had to go through it today. It was like, I can't believe
it. First period was not a good period.
No,
they did not show up. They didn't show up. But the beauty of goaltending is it keeps you in the game. And as a result, like you said, Engvall ties it up. Nylander, that's a game breaker. Off the bench, flying up the right side, top shelf. Only so many guys in the league can do that. And actually, about 15 minutes later, real time, was Alphonso Davies down at BMO, right? Down the right side of the pitch. And that goal he scored last night, it is a moment in time that is clearly going to ring out throughout this country, but that's a goal that puts Canadian soccer on the map worldwide. That's a clip being played for Sky Sports, right, in the BBC over in the UK and in Italy and in Australia and in South America. Like, that's truly one of the great goals I've ever seen. And it was an individual effort. It was at a pace that very few guys around the world can actually achieve. I think it was, I saw Stephen Caldwell tweet out that only Kylian Mbappe could pull that off the way that he played, that the way he operated on the pitch, the way he took the ball, and what he did at the pace he was doing it at. And for them to just take off in the second half, it worked out beautifully with the Leaf game. The Leaf game was in the second intermission when Davey scored that goal. It was just an incredible moment. And you talk about atmosphere. Everyone that was down there at BMO said it was awesome. Oh. And you could pick it up right through the tube last night. It was a great game and a big win. And now they're keeping pace with the Americans in Mexico through six games. So this is a big, big moment for Canadian soccer. And we saw it last night.
Well, you see, you know those moments where you see an athlete like announce himself to the planet? Mm-hmm. And we've been lucky in Toronto. Like, we saw Vince Carter pull off athletic feats, whether it was, you know, the first dunk of the slam dunk contest where it was, you know, it's over back in 2000. We've seen other stuff like that. But this is in that pantheon, right? This is one of those moments where you say, we're never going to forget that month. Like, that was, we've seen him run fast in the Bundesliga. We've heard how all those stats about how he's the fastest guy on the planet, and, you know, he's covering ground from the left back for his German league team. But when you do it with the national shirt on in front of the fans in Toronto, and you do it at a moment, Hayes, where they needed that
goal. They needed that.
That was a big moment in the game.
They needed 3 points last night.
And it was looking kind of, you talk about a tough start to a game. I mean, to find yourself down early to a team you're supposed to beat on home soil, like, not only does he do that, he's also the guy that, you know, sets up the other goal from the corner where he's just rifling these zingers on net from the corner. I mean, this guy was, he put on a dominant
clinic
performance.
Last night.
You talk about, was there any question about who the best athlete on that pitch was last
night?
No,
it was very obvious.
Question.
And I think that's going to be the case for him for the foreseeable future, right? Like, whoever he's playing against, unless it's Champions League and he's going up against, you know, superstars of superstars, he's going to be in a position where he might be the best player on the pitch, period.
Yeah.
And he certainly will be in CONCACAF. You know, we heard Gareth Wheeler say it last night. A bunch of guys, I believe, have concurred. Best player in CONCACAF is Davies.
Amazing.
Like, there isn't an American that can touch it. There isn't a Mexican that can touch it, so on and so forth. So Kevin Kilbin will join us later on in the afternoon, get his take on the game last night, the win last night, the second half, because it wasn't only Davies, it was the kids. Jonathan David with a goal, Tejon Buchanan with a goal. Big 3 points for Canada last night in their pursuit of the 2022 World Cup. Thursday night or tonight, I'm on the clock for this game. Philly getting 7 at home against the Bucks. Luke Wilson will join us to tee it up. We'll look around the NFL, looking into Week 6, and the Leafs are back in action tonight. We'll continue to tee that up. Game 5 of the NLCS. And a little bit of a curveball by Dave Roberts in terms of who's starting tonight. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, the Leafs are in Ottawa tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear Noodle's description of what's going on in net down there, because I would love to be the guy reporting on that one.
Yeah, Matt Murray is not playing tonight, even though he practiced yesterday and just said he's not feeling well. He said it's not COVID. He's been tested 3 times, all negative.
But, dude, in the world
he's
of big league sports, what does that mean, Hayes? Like, it's like when Michael Jordan says, well, I took that personally. Like, I take that personally because I'm not even on his team. They're trying to turn something around here. 28 for the Ottawa Senators, Connor Brown would never come out of the lineup because he just wasn't feeling well. That guy appreciates how difficult it is to play in the NHL and how difficult the league is to keep your position. And he wouldn't want to look at his teammates in the eye and say, I just wasn't 100%. Now, maybe there's something I'm not getting here, or I don't know. But the guy that just signed today, Tkachuk, would probably say, I want to fly up and play tonight. I want to play tonight. And to show up and find out their goalie that they're paying $6.2 million to just doesn't feel 100%. I've been talking about this guy too much because it seems like he's hand-picking which games he wants to play. It's not an option in the big leagues. I'm sorry. It's not. It's gross. It's disgusting.
It's crazy.
What the hell is he doing, man? Come on.
Yet. Well, I mean, it's not a normal job where you get paid that much money and you got to perform 82 times. Like, 82 nights a year, you got to be there. Unless there's some crazy injury or some crazy extenuating circumstance. But practicing, and then you can't go because you're going to give it another day or two because you're not feeling well.
Lose the same thing last year. It was like in warm-up. Yeah. He was like, I got a weird thing in my hand to the other goalie. And it was like,
well, Anton Forsberg was protected for a reason, and he's playing tonight. And if I'm DJ Smith and Forsberg plays well, I'm rolling with him. You know, like,
well,
you,
Are you really, though?
Why would you not?
You're not just going to let your $6.2 million goalie sit there if he's ready to go, are you?
How do they make it go away? All I want to know right now is how do you make $6.25 go away? Because they're trying to build something and move along. And this was such a big game, and this guy says no thanks. It's a joke. And all the hurt feelings crowd are going to be like, maybe he's not feeling 100%. In the NHL, it's not an option. You play.
Yeah.
I just don't get this.
It's interesting because people used to say that about Freddie Anderson, right? You'd hear the little whispers.
All these, there was a bunch of goalies that just, I got to feel 100% to play.
But at least Freddie would, Freddie would start 66.
I'm just going to say tomorrow. I'm not 100%. I can't do I can't do the show.
Again, it is different when there are 82 nights a year where it's different. You just got different standards. You've got a different understanding of what it's going to take to keep you away from the field of play. Right? You miss a practice, you miss a practice. And listen, you can equate it to the real world. Like, you got a big presentation. You got to be there for the big presentation.
Dude, ask Luke. We got Luke on, man. I bring him in, Hayes, and say, what would you say if Russ Wilson in a big game, just don't feel 100%.
All right,
today.
Here's a longtime NFL or TSN NFL analyst ahead of the Thursday nighter, Luke Wilson. Luke, we were talking about a goalie in Ottawa who's not playing tonight. He practiced yesterday. He's not feeling so well, and he's not going to go tonight. How would that go over in the room, equating goaltender to quarterback? If your starting quarterback just wasn't feeling that well
just
and
not
decided
100%,
not to play.
Like, just didn't really feel 100% to go out there and play. Would you guys not be disgusted?
Yeah, definitely. I think disgusted would be an understatement as far as NFL goes. Now, I know it's a different league, There's 82 games in the NHL
season. Same principle, bud.
But, yeah, I'll be honest with you and say that outside of maybe the first day of training camp, there's not one guy in the league that feels good about practicing. I say feels good, like it's 100%, you know what I mean? And then on game day, I don't want to sound like I'm giving up trade secrets here, but it's like, the black market in that locker room for drugs and such to play. You know what I mean? Because you can't get them all from the trainers. So it's like you got guys that are taking stuff that, it's not like illegal, but is it prescribed? No. And then you got somebody who says they're not 100%. That's a pretty big slap in the face to everybody in that room.
Thank you very much.
Well, with that being the case, let's talk about your former quarterback, Russell Wilson, who had surgery, and he's out for a reason. He had started every game of his career. He had the long-standing consecutive start streak, and now that it's being broken, guess who's going to pass him tonight? It's Brady. Brady now currently holds the most starts in the league in terms of consecutive order. I believe it'll be start 80 or 81 for him tonight. But Russ has been a staple, man. Every single week since he got there, he's playing. I don't see how they respond positively without him. I know Geno Smith looked pretty good, but I don't think he can hold, the water of Russell Wilson, and I think Seattle's leaking oil here, man. How do you see this playing out with the Seahawks?
I'm a little biased on this one, so I'll start with that disclaimer. But I actually think Seattle's going to go 3-0 with Geno Smith. I think that Geno kind of got this short end of the stick, and it's no disrespect, but when you get drafted to the Jets in that organization, it's just not a good scenario for a quarterback to be in. And, being on that team with Geno for the last few years, he's incredibly talented. Now, he's not going to be as mobile as Russ, but his arm strength is spectacular. So if he does get in trouble, Geno Smith is the type of guy that will be able to, I see Aaron Rodgers do this sometimes. He'll be able to basically get out of trouble by having an absolute cannon attached to his shoulder. But beyond that, Geno is another guy where he's a veteran guy. He's prepared very seriously. And the guys in the locker room love him. So I know that everybody in that locker room are really pulling for Geno. And there's something to be said about that. I'm sure it's similar in hockey. You got a guy, that's been waiting on his chance for a long time, and he finally gets it. There's a lot of respect for Geno Smith on that offensive side of the ball, and I saw that firsthand in my time in Seattle. So I got a feeling that, they don't have a crazy tough schedule in the next three games, and I think Geno's going to come out here and sling the pill around a little bit and look pretty good.
with Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst. Quarterback out or down in Seattle, coach out in Vegas. This John Gruden story, it happened quickly, and he is gone. And now the assistant is going to step in as the head coach. They're 3-2 on the season. They've got a couple of games before they hit a bye week. They're in a really tough division. I don't think they're a great team anyway. I personally think they're going to tail off here. How do you see this playing out with the Raiders?
Yeah, that's a tough situation. One I've never really been in, especially because the comments that he said were so personal to guys on that team. You know, and I'm not saying it'd be right if he said other stuff. It's definitely not that. But it's like the things that he said in those emails were, you know, directly at race and in the LGBTQ community. And, you know, those are people on that team. I think as a football player, you know, you're going to tell the media, hey, this is my job, et cetera, et cetera. When you have a guy that's as vocal as John Gruden was, you know, he was really the leader of that team. And again, my cup of coffee that I had in Oakland, now Las Vegas, you know, he's the guy that gives all the speeches. He calls the offense. He's very, very active in that team. We're not all head coaches are like that. And so to have a guy that you hear every single day, especially in the offensive side of the ball, he's calling the plays. He's going through the film himself. Like, he is your leader. And then for all this to come out, it kind of leaves you with a bit of a disgusted feeling and a bit of an empty feeling. And I'm with you on this. I think that they're going to be okay. But I really think that they're going to struggle long term here.
So speaking of Thursday night football, Luke, with Russ Wilson expected to miss some time here, the guy that owns the consecutive start record, active record in the NFL, is going to be Tom Brady, who's, of course, 44 years old. And we know the story. He's going to play tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Tampa Bay Bucks are 4-1. Now, Brady, you know, speaking of guys who aren't feeling well, he's got a heavily wrapped right hand, throwing hand, which he injured last week. When you look at it, Luke, I mean, you're a 31-year-old guy. Your career's come and gone. You're doing the media gig now. Does it amaze you to this day that this guy's able to do what he's done? And what do you sort of pinpoint as his secret sauce?
You know, you kind of, again, Tom Brady in the NFL is kind of like a bit of a mystical creature if you've never played with him. Just you hear stories about his diet. Your stories about his workout regimen, et cetera, et cetera. I think one thing that does help to get that kind of longevity, if you will, is that the NFL is, it's kind of a bit strange. Like, you take an offensive lineman, for example, you need to develop an absurd amount of strength, but at the same time, you have to be able to bend, move, be flexible, you know, be durable, which a lot of times, and be quick. And a lot of times if you're, you know, having an off-season program, those are kind of the opposite. You know, you don't really see any sprinters really looking like a super, super buff NFL guys. They're very lean and light. So with quarterback, you can kind of, you know, hone in on exactly what your body needs, and you don't need to play all the different spectrums. But that being said, to be his age, not have any crazy injuries, it's not a luck thing. It's a preparation. It's a diet. It's really all-encompassing. And I think what everybody respects about Tom and what he's been doing it this long is, you know, it's not like he goes to work and that's it. When you play that long and you're that healthy for this long at that age, you know, every meal is planned out. I'm assuming every massage, every body work appointment, every workout. So it's really like you're kind of at work 24 hours a day, you know, and the next one is sleep. You know, as much as people want to be, hey, I want to be there at 5 a.m. in the morning, you know, if you're sleeping 2-3 hours a night, that's going to wear you down by the end of the year. So it's pretty impressive just how disciplined he's been able to be throughout the last 20 years. And I mean, we saw last week that team is rolling, and I expect nothing less from them tonight.
Luke, I'm getting a little sick of hearing about the diet. Like, what the hell is this guy eating that's so off the charts? Like, can you give me an example of something that he eats that no one else does? Like, is it salmon with veg? Like, what? Like, tell me something.
Yeah, I don't know if he's eating something that no one else does. I think he's doing it more consistently. You know, that was the kind of story that I heard, was that he, and again, he's, this is secondhand stories. I'll let you know if I saw it with my own eyes here. But he's a bit of a, again, like a mystical creature, and the rumors about him, you don't really know, like, what to believe, what not to believe, as far as how he goes. But I, from what I've been told, is that just his diet is, like, extremely, extremely disciplined, down to portion size, down to food content. I mean, down to time that he's eating it. So that's what I've been told. But again, that's, could be a tall tale, man. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I'm regardless of what he's doing, man, he's put himself in the MVP chase, and we're only through 5 weeks, but they're not shockingly, it's all quarterbacks at this point. It's Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Tom Brady and Dak Prescott. But Patrick Mahomes is not in the race right now. Like, Mahomes is not in the top five. I'm not sure he's in the top six or seven, nor should he be with the amount of turnovers. Where do you stand on the MVP race, and could you see a scenario where Mahomes gets hot and still is lurking in terms of the voting come the end of the season?
I can definitely see a scenario where Mahomes gets hot. I mean, it's not uncommon for Kansas City to have a string of games where they start putting up video game-type numbers. The turnovers are an issue, but I also think that if Kansas City can, you know, figure their defensive struggles out, that's going to put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand a little more, even if it's, you know, one, two drives a game. And with the amount of weapons there, I could see Mahomes really crawling back in. But that being said, I think through 5 weeks, everybody wants to point at Josh Allen, and as they should. But I think the MVP is going to end up going to either Tom Brady or Matt Stafford. I know those are coming completely out of left field. I'm a big Matt Stafford fan. I think the more and more he gets comfortable with those receivers, with that offense, with Sean McVay's play calling, he's going to really put up some wild numbers. But then my last thing, which I would almost give Tom the nod now, is the emergence of Antonio Brown. You know, the last few years he's made some big plays, but hasn't maybe been a consistent part of that offense. You look at Tampa Bay offensively, and it is outrageous the amount of talent they have. I mean, you've got Mike Evans, huge physical receiver. You've got Chris Godwin, incredible route runner, also can be very physical. And now you've got Antonio Brown looking like he did 3-4 years ago. You put that on there with a good offensive line, and when Gronk comes back, the tight end kind of by committee there, Cameron Brate, a tremendous tight end receiver. And then we haven't even talked about Leonard Fournette yet. And I'm not saying Leonard Fournette is the greatest running back of all time, but when you have a guy with that kind of physicality, you have to account for him as a defensive coordinator, because he's going to be able to break tackles, push the pile, get those extra yards. So I really, you know, I know they struggled against New England. You know, Belichick kind of maybe dialed up a couple changes. But seeing Tom, you know, throw for 5 TDs last week, I think that the sky's the limit for that offense.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Enjoy the Thursday nighter in week six. We'll do it again next Thursday.
Appreciate it, guys.
There's Luke Wilson, TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFLer. And I'm on the clock with the pick tonight. We'll get to that in the next hour. The
crushing,
Eagles.
Buddy. Do you have the Thursday and the Monday? It's like you can take control of the whole season. It's like,
yeah, I do.
This guy's looking at me in the glass now, like I'm a, because I know that he's still pissed that I vetoed his pick last week. Oh. I had a guy in a traffic jam pull over and said, "You should have listened to Al's brother in the middle of a traffic jam."
I love it.
I said, "Bud, just calm down and leave me alone."
Yeah, listen, man. The people support Al's brother, and Al's, he was so definitive with that pick too. He loved the Indianapolis Colts. He gave you so many reasons to believe they were going to cover that number. And they did, and I'm thankful.
Really,
for
Hayes?
You.
Would you
Beansy?
Have gone along with them? No, you wouldn't have.
I was maybe on the Ravens, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't my pick. And I got a tough week. I got Eagles Bucks tonight. The Monday nighter is Bills at Titans.
Dude, the Bills will squash them.
I don't know.
Squash.
That's a tough game. The Bills. It's -5.5 right now. I'll bet you the line will move. But we'll get to that on Monday. I'll pick my Thursday nighter tonight. We'll do that in the next hour. Carlo Quagliacomo coming up from First Up. He will join us. Kevin Kilbin still to come as well, our TSN footy analyst with the match last night, the goal seen and heard around the world, man. Not just the city and the country. I think around the world, Alfonso Davies, a big 4-1 win over Panama. So Canada's currently in the third spot in terms of seeding in CONCACAF and pursuing a spot for the 2022 World Cup. So that more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Big night sports. We get the Thursday nighter. Philly at home against the Bucks. The Leafs are in Ottawa taking on the Sens. You can see that on TSN 4 tonight. And game 5 of the NLDS. Giants at home against the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are going with an opener. Corey Knebel will get the start tonight for the Dodgers. And yeah, Corey Knebel will get the start.
I thought it was Bueller.
No, it's
it's going to be Arias, right?
Arias was supposed to be the one on the mound. Like, Julio Arias will pitch tonight. It's just instead of him starting, he's going to come out of the bullpen, which is something they have done before. Roberts has used him in that capacity before. Question is, does he come in for, you know, just come in the second inning or third inning? What's the point of that? Like, basically,
have we even seen my guy Kershaw?
No. No, it's been
curtains for him or what?
He's been dealing with injuries and he has not been himself. I mean, it's been Scherzer and Bueller, and obviously they're going with an opener tonight. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting decision by Dave Roberts for sure. But it's something where the Dodgers are the team that are comfortable in this situation based on what they've done over the last few years. The Giants have World Series history, clearly, back in the early to mid-2000s or 2010s. I mean, they were there. They won 3 World Series in the course of, what, 6 seasons. But it's kind of uncharted territory for this new Gabe Kapler group in San Fran. So going with an opener tonight. And I think it's overthinking it personally, but that's what the game is all about now, right, is overthinking it, trying to detail how it's all going to play out before the game is even played.
Think of the situations last year where it was like, I mean, the Jays had one game one against Tampa where there was a Shoemaker on the mound or whatever. He looked pretty solid. It's like, no, you're coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then it never stops.
I guess they've done this. They've done this a handful of times, right? And I guess the idea is you say you're going to start the left-hander in your wrist and they're expecting a left-hander. Then at the 11th hour, you say, no, we're starting a right-hander. And you hope, Jeff, that maybe they're just going to say, well, maybe do we have to switch our batting lineup? And do you get them thinking that they've got to adjust to you? I don't know if they will, but you're just hoping you can kind of shrink a game from 27 outs to 24 outs if you're only going to use Knebel for, you know, one inning, essentially.
Probably
I think that's
inning.
Probably the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so. Then again, maybe Arias comes in for the second and pitches through the sixth or seventh. Like, that's obviously a possibility.
My guy Kershaw is out for the season.
Yeah, he's out for the postseason. He's not pitching. Yeah, he's been dealing. He was leaking oil. His last start, I think, was pretty ugly.
He's been leaking oil for a couple. He's my guy, like through and through. My
Kershaw,
guy.
Of course,
back,
he is.
I know. Back in the day, though.
Yes. Back in the day when he just played on this little tiny underdog team known as the LA Dodgers.
Dude, I've always been a Kershaw fan. You know that.
Yes.
I've never really been Dodgers fan, but he's
Kershaw's
been my guy. I love the guy.
Yeah. If you could wrap him up in a Yankee jersey, it'd be perfect.
That's right.
Right?
Or
Yankees
an Astros
and Kershaw.
Jersey.
That would be great. And Logan Webb is going for the Giants tonight. And I read something about him earlier today that he drinks 3 Red Bulls before every start.
Ooh.
Which is the old Brett Laurie routine, right? Remember Laurie, how many Red Bulls he would consume before the day?
I've never had one of them in my entire life.
You've never had a Red Bull?
No.
Like, not even like a drinking at a bar where it's like a Red Bull.
That I've done. Like, I've had a vodka Red Bull back in the day. But I've never said, I always have a coffee. But if it works better than a coffee, like a sugar-free Red Bull, I'll give it a shot. Yeah. Is there sometimes late in a playoff game where you're like, I need something here?
Mm-hmm. Who needs greenies when you got 3 Red Bulls?
Right.
Right.
Well, that's it. Like, 3 Red Bulls, man, you're going to be jacked.
Dude, they're terrible for you, though.
Your heart is racing.
Your heart's jumping out of your chest.
I haven't had one in years either. Like, when they first came out, they've been out for, what, 15 years now? Like, I don't know how long they've been around. But, you know, I'd try some, and if I was, same kind of thing, tired or whatever, I wasn't a coffee drinker. Now I drink coffee, so it's not something I'm looking to do. But even at the bars, I remember, like, if you had a big night and you had a bunch of Red Bull, like, you couldn't sleep. Like, you were – and the next day, you just feel up – you wake up feeling, like, garbage.
Yeah,
man.
Like it's the stuff that probably, we talk about Brady where it's just lemon water and the food. Like no. I used to have a Diet Coke after warm-up, after the first, and after the second.
Wow.
With a dip. It's like, what the hell kind of program is that?
I don't know. I guess sugar, just hey, to get the blood
bubbling. I don't know. It was just a Diet Coke.
Caffeine's a performance enhancer, Odot. Yeah. You're right on the right track there.
There you are. There you go. There you go. All right. So, yeah, the Leafs are in action tonight. They're in Ottawa. We'll get back into that in the next hour. We'll continue to look back on their win against Montreal last night. A bunch of other storylines throughout the NHL. Alex Ovechkin was a game-time decision. You wouldn't know it based on the way he performed last night. And we got a bunch of games throughout the league tonight. So that and more still to come. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.